You got the wrong person.
I did?
I think so.
You think so? You're not Barbara?
Well, I'm Barbara, but I'm not that person you described.
Really? Aren't you there Wednesday and Sunday?
Where's the little light? You know, this is the year that my eyes...
And stroke, I'll bring it next week.
Okay, I'll speak next week. Good night. And the lights are turned up all the way, right, Liz? Oh, I think I'll concede to the glasses part of the time here. We'll get through this. Thank you, Millie. That was awfully nice. I'm going to start by just saying, like all of you, my life has been really crazy lately. Those of you who heard my talk about 6 weeks ago know that I'm a part-time mom and full-time worker and the daughter of a dad with Alzheimer's right now, and there's just not enough hours in the day, and today I noticed I have a leaky pipe outside my garage door, so I've got to call a plumber tomorrow. You know, and so there's all these things going on, and I realize most of the time I don't feel very spiritual, you know. It's like when I'm here on Wednesday nights and when I'm in church on Sunday mornings, or at choir rehearsal singing beautiful songs that James found for us, then I can really feel connected to God. And I don't feel that when I'm wiping up little snot-nosed three-year-olds, you know, or dodging my boss at the office. I just don't feel as in the spirit of so connected. But I had an interesting week last week, and I was out of town, and I went back to a little town on the shore of Lake Michigan, on the west side of the state of Michigan, a little town where my mom was born and where some of my aunts and uncles still live, and they're in their 80s and 90s. And I'm not going to have many more opportunities to, you know, hear some of their stories and connect with some of their wisdom, so I carved that out of my schedule and went back there. And I also had, at the same time, the opportunity to visit with my cousin, who recently moved from California back there to take care of her parents, my aunt and uncle. And she's really cool and a lot of fun. And last Friday night, she said, come with me to this peace vigil. In the little town where my mom was born is the world's largest weather vane in the whole world. Turns out there's a little weather vane factory in this town. So they have a 48-foot-tall weather vane in the center of the town. And every Friday night, women gather and they walk in a circle and they carry signs about asking for peace in the world. And, you know, this town probably has a population of 1,000 people. But, you know, the people who come home from work on Friday nights between 5 and 6 see these women just walking their circle. And even if those few hundred people driving by for a minute think about peace because of that visual stimulus, there's a little more peace going out in the world. And so I got to take a part in that. And it was kind of my church for last week. It was really very nice. And I met some wonderful women, all of whom are very, very busy being educators in that community and doing great things. And yet they carve this time out every Friday night. It's very inspiring. So, that said, what am I going to talk about tonight? Well, I'm going to talk about my cousin's husband, who had been out of town but showed up when I was there. And when he drove in, he had on the back of his car a bumper sticker that said, "My God loves your God." And I thought, how cool is that? You know, that just kind of disarms all these things about, you know, my religion's better than your religion, or my truth is the only truth, or my salvation is the only way. And I have to say, you know, for those of you who have been to Sunday church, and we don't have it in these books, but at the Sunday church, we have our principles that our spiritualist church believes in. And one of the ones that just really let me know I was at home was the line that read, "We believe truth can be found in all religions, philosophies, and sciences." What a refreshing wake-up call after all these other experiences I had where our religion is the only religion. And here was this basic tenet of Fraternal Spiritualist Church that said, hey, truth is out there all around us. And I'm like, how loving is that, and how real that is, and how that, for me, that really resonates, is what God wants us to live our life as. And if you say, my God loves your God, and if God is love, then my love loves your love. Yeah, you know, we can just have this love in, which is really pretty wonderful. And part of the reason I'm kind of looking at this thing of, you know, the different religions is certainly all of us, whether we were raised Catholic or not, you couldn't miss the Pope's funeral last week. It was very much in our media. And I heard some people who hadn't been raised Catholic who just didn't understand what the big deal is, you know. And I wasn't raised Catholic either, so I can't really speak to that. But I was reflecting on, you know, we just went through Easter and the Easter story about Mary going to Christ's tomb, and, you know, there weren't thousands of people gathered around his tomb, and there weren't millions of people around the world acknowledging his death at that time like there were with the Pope. And I'm not saying the Pope didn't deserve that acknowledgement, but it just really struck me, you know, we had Easter, and a few weeks later, well, no, it's just the week following that the Pope made his transition. And in the paper today, I read a little article that said many pilgrims are praying outside his tomb, asking for miracles, asking for physical healing. And I just thought, you know, don't they get, they could have asked any time, any place. You know, it's not just this one person who walked the earth and is now free of the body that can intercede for them. You know, God is always there listening to our prayers. And so I've been thinking about the differences between religions, and I'm certainly not a scholar of comparative religions, and I don't have any answers about how we can stop all these wars in the name of religion. But for me, I remember about 20 years ago when I was trying to understand the differences, I had this little saying to myself, well, there's many paths to Ocean Beach. But real scholars often use the analogy that there's many paths to the top of the mountain, to the summit of this truth or enlightenment. And I was reading this one gentleman's ideas on this recently, and he said, yes, there are many paths, and many religious frameworks or philosophies for getting to the top. But he said, you know, some of people are wearing the label of being a Christian or whatever, but they're really sitting in the lodge sipping hot chocolate rather than taking one of the paths and doing the work up the mountain. And he also pointed out very rightly that some paths really might get you there, but they're not a whole lot of fun. And that certainly speaks to how we can each choose oftentimes a more difficult path than we need to. We know the things that aren't healthy for ourselves, whether it's healthy for our body or our emotional health, bad relationships we keep choosing, or, you know, things we do to ourselves, drugs, alcohol. For me, I talked about this before, compulsive eating. We know all these things, but sometimes we choose these things that will make our paths up the mountain so much more difficult, even when we have really positive role models standing right around us. And so, you know, one of the questions I haven't fully resolved in my mind or found the answer to is why? Why do we choose the paths that are so difficult when we have an opportunity, and I think God is asking us to, you know, through the stories of the Bible, through the examples we have as spiritual people who do have maybe not perfect lives, but they certainly have joy-filled lives. How can we emulate them? How can we learn from their example and choose a path that's going to get us to the top that's just a little more joyous, a little more peaceful? You've probably all heard this Hindu story about five blind men who encounter an elephant and each touch a different part of the elephant. So the one man who touches the ear thinks he's found a huge leaf. The one who touches the side of the elephant feels like he's just walked into a wall. Somebody else touches the trunk of the elephant and they think they found a snake. And I think, you know, all of us with our different perceptions of the reality of the elephant, you know, we're all blind to some degree. We don't all get to see the whole elephant, if the elephant can represent truth in this analogy. But I think what God is calling us to do is to not just fixate on what we perceive as the reality, maybe the side of the elephant, but to acknowledge that there's so much more that we still have to discover. And I think that's one reason why we really have this whole experience of reincarnation and this never-ending life of learning, because there is so much more to the elephant than we can ever learn in one lifetime, that we can ever fathom. And I know all of us have probably all made this little mental list. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why this and what about that, and so on and so forth. There's so many questions, and yet those of us who, well, probably all of us at times, get fixated on just this one perception of the reality. And we get stuck there, and we think, well, you know, I can feel the side of this elephant so well and experience it so completely, that really is the only truth that's really out there. Whenever I do research on spiritualism, especially if you do it online and you just put it in a search engine, what comes up are a lot of fundamentalist preachers who really are praying for our souls, because we believe that the communication is possible with our loved ones who are on the other side. And I have to remember that I can't just dismiss their concern out of hand, because, you know, this is my part of the elephant says this really works. This communication is completely real, and it has given me such peace and comfort the last 15 years that I've been here. And I've Millie encourages us and to test. And, you know, I'll reiterate that testing this is so important, so that you can reach that place of knowing and true believing, not just operating on faith, saying, I want to believe this. So I pray for those people who pray for us spiritualists. I would love for them to have the opportunity to feel that connection with loved ones. I mean, we're all losing people at different stages in our lives, and I, being with these aunts and uncles last week and watching my dad's journey into his disease, you know, I'm really hoping I can connect with them on an ongoing basis. I really hope they'll reach back and want to say hi to me and let me know that that love cord is still very strong. And kind of going back to where I began this talk, though, one thing I'm really struggling with is incorporating the spirituality into the day-to-day moments of doing the dishes and loading the dishwasher, taking out the garbage and pouring the cans back in. And I have to kind of give this funny little example that occurred to me. In the last 10 years, I've done a lot of internet dating, where you can supposedly find the right person just by filling out this questionnaire. And there's always a section on religion. And it, you know, it lists out all of the basic religions that are in the world. And then there's always this category that says spiritual but not religious, which kind of cracks me up, because it's like we, in our culture now, it's almost, you're supposed to be embarrassed if you're religious. Well, what is religious? Are we religious because we come here? We're spiritual, or even spiritualist, but why is there this negativity about practicing a religion? And I don't have the answer to that either, but I think it's really interesting how we keep trying to massage words to come up with the meaning that's most socially acceptable for the 21st century. And as I do the dishes or pull in the garbage cans, am I a spiritual person? Am I a religious person? I'm just a human being who's really struggling, like many of us, to incorporate that love of self as well as love of everybody around me. And that's tough. We all know it's tough with coworkers or people who cut you off in traffic or the people in line in front of you at the grocery store that really aren't ready, even though they should be by the time they get up there. And I don't have all the answers, but I do believe that if we can get back to that bumper sticker and kind of have some levity about it and realize that God, my God, really does love your God and your God loves my God and it's all the same, we can maybe get a little closer to loving each other because, as Millie says so beautifully over and over, we're all just cells in the same body of God. We all just really need to recognize that we're all part of a greater whole. And to not love each other is to not love ourselves, which is a real tough one, admittedly. We all have our own best knowledge of where the growth needs to occur, and it's easy to be tough on ourselves. But, gosh, God loves us. God loves everybody else's God. So, anyway, I love all of your gods. and I'm sure you love my God because you've been a great, attentive audience, and I don't know if I've said anything too profound except, you know, I can be 1,200 miles away and still know that I'm so connected to my spiritual family. And going back to the women I met at that peace vigil afterwards, last Friday night we went out for dinner, and my cousin, who is one of my fans, you know, said, oh, you need to talk to my cousin about what her church is, and it's so cool, and everything. So everybody wanted to know, and they all came from different religious backgrounds, spiritual backgrounds, and they really could say, yes, I've had an experience similar like that. I had a feeling, or, you know, I felt my mom's presence after she died, and this and that, and maybe in their respective churches, they were never free to talk about that, but around that dinner table, they did, and I just felt so connected to them after an hour and a half that I realized, you know, as Millie, you talk about so often, our spiritual family, we can plant the seeds and just keep it growing and realize that we're all connected. Blessings to all of you. Thank you.
You know what we learned right there? How much she knows, because so many people feel that they know it all. That means they haven't even scratched the surface. Angel Friend Free the Body, who's more advanced down the road than we are, never comes to know it all. So when you talk about the wonderings you have, you're really talking about how much you really do know, honey. You know enough to think about it and reach for your knowing. But I think one of the good ways is just to substitute the word love for God. That answers so much. That little three-year-old you're talking about, there's God right in there. That makes it a lot easier. But and I don't think that religion has ever started a war, but people's interpretation of it has. So let's all admit to ourselves that we know so little. But it's a fun journey in getting deeper and deeper into the knowing, isn't it? What do you think, Margie? Isn't it a wonderful thing to go into the deeper and deeper into the journey of knowing? Getting rid more and more and more of all the beliefs and the... And one way to get into it is to question and think and question and think. And if you're sincerely questioning and thinking, like you are, God gives you answers. And when we realize we're all connected to each other, we'll quit kicking each other, won't we? Hmm? That was dogs you're talking about. One dog won't bite the other dog, huh? Well, I said, we all love each other. What do you say there, Mom? That tiny little lady just sits here and she doesn't say very much. You might really work around here to get to know this lady sitting up here in the greenish gray sweater here with the blonde hair. Very interesting when you get to know her. She's quiet, so you gotta seek her out to get to know her. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, honey. You know a lot, or you wouldn't, as young as you are, you wouldn't be spending every Wednesday and Sunday in church and choir, whatever Janie will get you singing. You wouldn't be doing that if you didn't have all the knowings. All right, so who is here for the first time?